Well, Caleb and Hillary, good morning.
You know, morning.
Friday mornings at 7:45, we usually have our headlines, and a lot of times they're on the lighter side. Well, recently we talked about these one of these food delivery services, and one of the drivers had, you know, eating some of the food. Well, this alarming headline, you may not have seen it this morning, 28% of delivery drivers have eaten some of your food.
Okay. What?
28, more than a quarter.
I feel like the gratuity shouldn't be.
Here's the thing. I've never been a food delivery person. I mean, I was a waitress, but that's different, you know. I have to say, this is why I couldn't do it, because I think I would just, without even realize it, be reaching into a bag and eating fries or something.
I mean, definitely that way. When I bring food home to my, for instance, if I'm coming home from work and it's, you know what?
Burger King's
just up the road. Can you just stop and get some? I eat some of the chicken nuggets and the fries before they ever make it home.
You have to purposefully order an extra thing of chicken nuggets or fries just for that. And then you hide the evidence.
I have twice been a pizza delivery driver. I can tell my customers I never ate a slice, but I can say, what if the question was when you ordered or, you know, online, it was like, and what would you like to order for the driver?
Right.
Right.
My dad was a pizza delivery guy, and he called himself a culinary distribution specialist dealing primarily in Neapolitan cuisine.
There you go.
Just saying, you're never just a deliverer.
Well, I think those drivers may be singing along with Julie Elias, Forgive Me, on Wib and Wib.com. Good morning.
It is official, gentlemen. As of this morning at about 5:45, I have ordered my daughter her first phone.
How old is she?
14.
Mm-hmm. That's a big moment.
It is. She is going to be in high school in the fall, so we're just like a month out from high school. And we've been telling her for a while, you will get a phone. Can I say, for even longer than we've been telling her she will get a phone, we've been hearing that she is the only 14-year-old, previously 13-year-old, apparently on the planet, who doesn't have one.
The only one.
I know. So so we really have held off, but I really have been like, okay, so going into high school, I would like her to have a phone, and it's purely selfish. It's because she's going to be in show choir, and they're going to be traveling a lot, and she's got, like, evening practices until 9 p.m. Well, that's too late for her to necessarily walk home from school in the dark. And I don't want to sit there for 10 or 15 minutes waiting. We live, like, a minute and a half from the school. I just kind of want to get a text saying, I'm ready, and buzz over there.
There
and she
go.
Can wait the 2 minutes for me, but I don't want to wait for her. So, but it's been like, oh, man, you know, I already regret it because I know it's going to be a struggle, but yet she needs to learn how to self-regulate on a phone. I don't know. What are your guys? Mark, you were saying your kids have phones. Caleb's, yours are younger. They don't.
I've wondered, too, because, you know, I thought, you know what? When you're driving and could get in trouble,
right,
you know, would be a good time to have a phone. So 16. And then I was like, do I really want to introduce, because my kids aren't anywhere close, but I was like, do I really want to introduce my kids to phone use as they start driving? Because
yeah,
the temptation is extremely large to use the phone while driving, which I do not want. I want you to use it if you get in trouble. The other thing that I've wondered is, do you get a phone that has no data plan, that can only text and call? Because data is very, very useful, but also can definitely be abused as well. So
yeah, we're getting like just a 1 gig of data plan, which is not much. Like, she can't do a ton on that, but she can still do stuff. But she's going to have to self-regulate that, because when it's gone, it's gone. It doesn't automatically refill. So
yeah.
Something tells me by the 15th of each month, she's going to be like out of data, but it's okay.
I think as I'm remembering back, I mean, I think kind of as we were heading to Liberia in 2016, at that point, everybody, including Elena, which is 11, had a phone, tying into that. And so, you know, there's a lot of challenges living in Liberia.
Absolutely.
It was a lot slower life. And we got whatever kind of a hotspot in terms of Wi-Fi, but yeah, I think, I don't know, 13, a lot of times in terms of, they say, a minimum age for Facebook, and some people go earlier than that. And so,
Yeah. Weigh in on our listener line. I personally would really love to hear from you. And, you know, we have the ground rule set up. Like, the phone goes on my nightstand at night for charging and whatnot and to be in my possession at night. But
all right.
I want to hear from you guys.
We are your breakfast cereal station. When there's breaking news about breakfast cereals, we've got it for you. And I just can't contain myself, Caleb and Hillary, anymore.
What do you got?
Kellogg's is launching a new cereal. Have you heard about it?
Is it an Oreo cereal?
No, it's not. It's inspired by this song.
Jaws?
Mm-mm. Is it Shark Week?
Shark Bites?
Oh.
Baby Shark cereal will soon hit shelves exclusively at Walmart and Sam's Club. Beginning August 17th, fans can get their hands on the cereal at Sam's. It'll be sold at Walmart in late September. The cereal consists of berry-flavored loops with marshmallows and will sell for $5.98.
Let's just let this roll for a bit.
I'm doing it with my hands.
Do you know how many times I heard this song on the way to and from Iowa?
No, how many?
So many!
Innumerable.
So the kids were watching the show?
You know, Abraham, your descendants shall be, you know, if you could number the stars or the sand of the seashore. That's sort of how I view the number of times that I heard Baby Shark. I'm glad that Cooper travels pretty well and entertains himself. Like, he's a busy boy.
Yeah.
You go back to, like, the whole phone thing. If he's not playing on a device and we say, hey, enough screen time, bud. He's got to be doing
something.
Yeah. So he sings, and he sings, and he sings, and he sings, and I love
him.
So.
Inside the mind of a cereal marketer, you just look at anything culturally and go,
killer.
We could make a cereal out of that.
Yes.
Right? No matter what it is.
I want Oreo cereal. Just saying.
I think you could find it. I'm sure
you're going to pay. I just tried a new Oreo that was so good. What was it? The Baskin-Robbins mint chip?
Oh, I haven't tried that one yet.
Oh, that was so good.
Did you ever try Oreo O's? I don't know if that's still a cereal anymore.
Oh, yeah.
They made Oreo O's before. Yeah.
See, I told you guys, the cereal that stuck out to me, I did not get it, but I should, was drumsticks. It was like those ice cream cones.
Oh, yeah.
Those pre-made ice cream cones. And you could get like different flavors like mint chocolate chip. That looked kind of good to me.
Yum. It seems like nowadays, with all of the data breaches that happen, I mean, I myself have been involved in the big Target one. Do you remember that huge Target one a few years ago? Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember that. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, I don't shop
well,
there much.
And 99% of the time, we follow the Dave Ramsey plan and use cash, and the one time I use a card and I'm part of this huge data breach, ain't that just the luck, you
and
know?
And you know I'm a ghost, so.
Yeah. Right. Well, Capital One has been hit with a data breach affecting credit card applications for 100 million individuals
in the
U.S. and 6 million individuals in Canada.
Ouch.
The largest category of information that was accessed pertained to customers and small businesses who applied for credit cards. Get this, between 2005 and 2019. So even if you're like, oh, I haven't had Capital One anything in like over 10 years, nah, sorry, you're not safe.
It was one woman, Paige Thompson, a former software engineer, arrested yesterday by FBI in Seattle. So, you know, it sounds like a big operation, like one person pulled that up.
But at least they caught her.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Approximately 140,000 credit card customers' social security numbers were stolen, 80,000 linked bank account numbers, 1 million social insurance numbers in Canada were stolen. But Capital One, I love this. They're trying to put a silver lining on it.
Right.
Let's put a positive spin on it. Here's their positive spin, and I'm quoting, importantly, no credit card account numbers or login credentials were compromised. And over, but they got 140,000 social security numbers. I'd rather they have my account login than my social. But way to spin it, Capital One.
There you go.
They're trying. They're offering free credit
And they
monitoring.
Said over 99% of those SS numbers were not compromised.
That's good.
Since it was so many.
Which makes you like, wow, what a huge.
That's what I wanted to ask is in terms of, you know, they say as a politician, I don't care what you say about me, just as long as you're talking about me, right? And so
I don't know that Capital One wants people to talk
about me. But I was just going to say, you know, in terms of, I understand on the surface, bad publicity.
Yes.
And yet certainly Capital One is all over this
they
morning.
They have an opportunity here.
They do.
I mean, and again, with any misstep, mistake, you have a chance, you know, not just put a positive spin
redeem,
on it. You have
rebuild.
A chance. You know, how do you get back up? How do you serve your customers?
Yeah.
I've had my social security number compromised by a healthcare organization before and had someone file a tax return in my name. And,
wow.
Yay.
You know, it's a big, big mess.
It's
so
a mess.
There is definitely an opportunity for them to help clean up the mess in a big
way. And you know, here's the thing, when the identity theft stuff was kind of like that emerging thing, if you had your identity stolen, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars it would cost you to clean that up, and you know, hundreds of hours. And I feel like because this has become so commonplace, my hope, I know that it's still a nightmare, but it seems like at least there's a process in place for people, but it still takes a ton of time. Ugh.
61
degrees.
So if you have a Capital One card and you say, hey, my name's Joe, and I'm like, are you?
Are you really?
To tell the truth, the old game show, WWIV 7 before 8. Good morning. So my wife found this and sent it to my 19-year-old daughter. You know, first of all, let me just say, when it comes to stickers, I mean, I don't care how old you are. Don't you love it if somebody gives you a sticker?
I do.
Yeah. You go into Walmart and they give stickers right away to your kids and it's like, hey, what am I, chopped liver?
Yeah.
Right. I could use one of those as well.
You get a sticker when you
go vote. I adulted today.
Exactly.
Yes, I love my voting stickers.
Yes. Well, so Peggy found these and they're amazing. They're stickers for adulting because adulting is hard. So I'm going to take the first one. I shaved my legs. Sticker.
You want a sticker?
All right. Okay. I totally want a sticker for that.
A sticker for, hey, folded my laundry. Mm-hmm.
Yes, good job.
There you go. And Hillary has said she doesn't iron, but I've seen her fold lately, and she's an amazing. I cannot fold like her, I'll tell you.
I have so much practice.
You know, those times that I cook dinner, would I like a sticker? You bet.
You bet.
You bet.
Cook dinner sticker. How about I arrived on time?
How about an adulting sticker for this? Washed my hair today. Maybe an addendum. Didn't use dry shampoo.
I love dry shampoo.
How about a sticker for I didn't spend all my money?
Well done. I wore matching socks. Hooray!
I almost went to the gym today. Huh. Have a sticker.
And I think another one if you did, right?
Yeah,
sure. Double stickers.
How about I didn't look at my phone during dinner.
Hey, definitely.
88% of people zombie
worthy.
Eaters, right?
Yes. I personally like this one. I didn't get fired because, you know, I tend to say things I shouldn't always.
Here's an adulting sticker for I didn't cry. Honestly, after some meetings, just like, you know what? I deserve a sticker for not crying during
that. Held it together.
And as my wife heads off for 2 weeks in Africa today, I would like a sticker for dear, I watered your plants today.
Yes.
Yes, there we go.
Have lots of stickers for every day.
Yeah, that's fun.
Honestly, I think I blame Sunday school for my obsession with stickers and the dentist. Just love stickers.
I remember on election day, it was a big deal to get
your sticker.
Oh, it was, because my polling place did not have stickers for the longest time, and the dear ladies and gentlemen who run that actually pooled together and bought stickers themselves out of their own pockets.
Wow,
so
there you go.
Them. I don't vote there anymore because I moved, but I'll miss them and their stickers.
Speaking of politics,
come on,
political junkies that first of two nights of Democratic debating kicking off in Detroit tonight.
You know, I also attended Holyland USA in Del Rio, Texas, home of the drive-in baptismal car wash and discount house of worship. Say hallelujah. Brethren, that reminds me of a story. I'll never forget the movie Jungle Book. Say hallelujah. You remember it, don't you? Dr. Livingstone, say hallelujah. Beautiful man, pillar of the community. Well, you know, quite frankly, he went into the wilds of the jungle and never came back.
Yes, the iconic song from Scott Wesley Brown from back in the day, many years ago.
I hope she comes back.
Please don't send me to Africa.
Please come back.
I got to say, in our many years traveling with Teamwork Africa, I did meet a listener, and hopefully he came back to the station, but he had said, I stopped listening to your station when you played a song, please don't send me to Africa. And I'm like, yeah, it was meant to be kind of tongue-in-cheek, because Scott Wesley Brown, and he performed at least one concert here back in the day at Eau Claire Memorial, he was the most missions-minded artist like I'd ever met.
Right.
I
mean,
the guy, loved that song.
Yeah. And so,
funny.
Anyhow, we're going to put Peggy Halverson on the air with us because, you know, it's interesting, guys. We got married about 21 years ago. And before Peggy would marry me, she said, listen, I'm going to be traveling to Africa a lot. I mean, are you good with that? So remember that prenup you made me sign? She's laughing because that was not the case.
No.
What was the case, dear? What was the case?
I said we couldn't move more than an hour away from my parents.
Oh, Peggy.
So what shifted then?
Yeah. Oh, never know the twists and turns life will take.
That's
you.
Right.
Right, right. Oh,
you gave me a good head fake on
goodness.
That one. Anyhow, so back to Africa today.
Yes. Do you remember, I have lost count on how many trips I made to Liberia.
You know, I was going to actually say I appreciated that about you because with all due respect to some of the people, they want to, like, this is my 37th. I'm like, you know what? You've gone to Africa a lot.
A lot.
So I think that's, we don't, like, other than it's kind of like, here's my bracket. Like, nobody cares about your bracket, right?
Yeah.
Than you. So,
you know,
anyhow.
I've often wondered about that with people. Like, how do they actually keep track? So I'm kind of glad you're not that person.
It reaches a point. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a positive. So I'm glad you can't remember.
Notches on a passport.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So anyhow, it's the first time since February, and yet some exciting things a part of this trip, right? You're going to be meeting some different folks beyond just the Liberian friends.
Yeah, we had some really interesting connections, and I'm actually meeting a German team in Liberia. They arrived yesterday, so three guys from Germany went to Liberia yesterday, and tomorrow I'll meet them there, and we're going to go and do some four-wheel driving through the mud of the jungles and go see some of our projects in the rural areas of Liberia. And then on Saturday, a guy from Colorado Springs that I met when I went to the World Challenge CHE conference, and CHE is Community Health Evangelism.
Oh.
And we are going to do some vision casting for CHE in Liberia, which I'm super excited about because there isn't any established CHE work going on that I know of in Liberia, and I'm really excited about its organic grassroots structure. So although I'm traveling by myself again, I am going to be with the team once I get there.
Now, you say you're traveling by yourself, but you are joining up with that team. Is it nerve-wracking, or are you just, like, over it because you've done it so many times? I mean,
I
for me,
really
I'd be
over
like,
it.
Okay.
I'm so over it. I think the first time I traveled by myself, I was a little... Actually, the first time I thought I was traveling by myself, I ended up meeting a friend who was actually traveling to Liberia, too.
Oh, fun.
So I didn't really go by myself, but since that time, I have gone back and forth by myself a few times.
So, like, here's my weird question. You're going to leave Eau Claire at what time, and then how many hours until you actually get to... Is it, like, 20-some hours, isn't it?
Oh!
Of travel, 25?
Let me see if I have my actual flight schedule.
Oh, my.
Here it is. I'm leaving Eau Claire at 2:22.
Okay.
And flying to Chicago is just, like, an up and down.
Yeah,
so
that's nothing.
I'll get to Chicago at about 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
I'll leave Chicago at 6, so that's not bad. And then I'll get to Brussels at 9 a.m., which actually, you know, with the time change, not
but
telling
still.
Me how long. I think that flight's like 7 or 8 hours.
Okay.
And then I leave Brussels at noon, and I'll get to Liberia at 7. So that flight, and that's only 1 hour time change. So that flight really is about 7 or 8 hours.
Oh, my. And then do you have to, like, board a bus or a Jeep or something to get to where you're going?
Yes. Yep. Then my friends will be there with our Land Cruiser to pick me up, and it's an hour into the city. So
oh,
I'll leave that to about 2:30 today, and I'll get there. It'll be 7 o'clock their time when I get there, so it will be so it's about 24 hours.
Hours.
So that's not actually bad.
Bless you, Peggy, that you're saying that's not actually bad because, you know,
no.
In that 24 hours of time, I'm going to, like, sleep and have meals and all of that, and you're just going to be going through the paces.
No, the worst part is coming back because I'll arrive in Brussels at 5 a.m.
Ew.
And I don't leave until 11. So I'll have 6 hours. And I know this spot in the Brussels airport where there are couches that have cushions because most of the Brussels loungers are hard chairs. But there's one spot where there are couches. And I'll wrap my backpack and my carry-on around my arms and legs and fall asleep on those couches for a few hours.
Good.
And then you just hope that you don't oversleep. You know, you're fine.
Yeah, set an alarm on your phone. It'll be fine.
No, it is fine. It is fine. So I just... making it sound dramatic.
Good.
So, no, it's actually very boring. The fun and thrill of flying has definitely lessened. When I started traveling, I thought I will always feel this excited, but it really doesn't.
Yeah.
But, you know,
it
when you fly international, as we wrap this up, as you fly international, I mean, they really do take good care of you, and your movie choices are far beyond anything kind of on domestic flights, so you get spoiled in that regard. And so...
Anyway. Yeah, no, traveling on the international flight is pretty nice. Yeah. Can be a little cramped, but it's relaxing kind of.
And
I've
now
never
here's
had
the thing.
Really
I mean,
bad experience.
Yeah, you've got other work there, and we're hoping people continue to ask about Michael and the adoption.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're praying this isn't the trip. It looks like to go get him, but hopefully before the year is done, if people want to pray in that regard, that would be great. So
yes, we are very much praying that we will get our court decree while I am there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chance that I'll be able to get it. It's not a for sure thing, and it would sure make our adoption process move along much more quickly if I can get it while I'm there. So if you're praying for me, for my safety, and for our adoption, pray that I get our court decree before I come home.
Very good.
All right. Dear, thank you. We'll talk to you
a
little bit
Thanks
later.
Thanks for having me join you guys.
All right. I'll pick you up, take you to the airport in a few hours, all right?
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.